The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Clint Yates, Tim Collishaw, Emily Kaplan, Kevin Blackstone. Booing your own fans for booing you. The New York Mets, Metsing like only the Mets can. We've got a Mets centipede today. And also whether Cam ever gets his high five for Mac. Yes, there we go. All is good in New England.
When I strike out and I get booed, you know, it doesn't really get to me, but like I want to let them know that when we success, we're gonna do the same thing to let them know how it feels. In my case, they gotta be better. You know, I play for the fans and I love the fans, but you know, if they're gonna do that, they're just putting more pressure on the team, and that's not what we want.
The Mets, via the statement from Sandy Alderson here, are taking the side of the fans, not the side of Baez, Lindor, Pilar, Stroman posting his view that media is always trying to stir controversy, and we won today. That's all that matters. And then he was retweeting posts that say fans are soft and entitled, and it's an example of what's wrong with society. Owner Steve Cohen posting that he wants to focus on the win, too. Today they had a team meeting. Clint Yates, around the horn to you. How bad is this for the New York Mets? And can any part of you see the player's thumbs down side of this?
I can see the player's thumbs down side of it. That doesn't mean I have to hear it or that I mean I have to buy it. But also, the reason why this is such a Mets thing is because not only are they playing themselves, but they're doing it in particularly lame fashion on top of that. They've been doing this bit for 3 weeks, but nobody knows because they were crash-landed out of the daggone playoff race in the NL, and they couldn't have enough good things to anti-celebrate. Why don't you worry about your road record in terms of what the Mets are doing? You're 15 games under 500. Then worried about what the fans who are paying to say. Hey, it's just so much stuff that the Mets constantly do. It's embarrassing, yo. What are we doing?
Tim Collishaw?
You know, nobody knew about it because they were never on base. You got to do that first to be able to make the signal. Now, there are certain things you can do, and we've seen it through time. You can get in fight with teammates. You can certainly get in fights with the media. You're probably going to win that battle with a lot of the fans. You can get in fight with your manager. If you're Billy Martin, you can have the greatest quote of all time about Reggie Jackson and George Steinbrenner and saying one's a born liar, the other's convicted. You can get away with that. But taking on the fans and basically saying boo to the fans, there is no possible. What are you going to win? How are you going to win that fight? The Mets have been a hugely underachieving team, starting with Francisco Lindor, who took a giant contract to go to New York. He knew he wasn't going to Cleveland. Things might be different there if his OPS is below 700. And this is how the players respond. It's just preposterous.
Emily Kaplan.
You know, I ultimately feel for Baez because I agree with his point. Fans sometimes forget that these players are human and they act cruelly. That said, as a professional athlete, you've got to hold yourself to a higher standard. And Baez acted immaturely. Also, dude, read the room. You're on the Mets now. The fans do not care about your opinion when you've been on the team for under a month. It's funny, when you actually watch the line of questioning, you can see the reporter start to giggle like he can't believe Baez is saying this. Like, oh my goodness, is going to get blown out of proportion. And it was. If you read the Daily News today, it's Baez to fans, go to hell. Not what he actually said, which is fans need to be better. But that's what happens in Flushing. It's different than Chicago. It's different than the Bronx. And I'll just end you with this. Derek Jeter once was asked about the fans booing him, and he says, if I was a fan, I'd boo me too. That's how you win on and off the field, also by just winning.
The go to hell, of course, is a famous New York tabloid headline that they're invoking there. Kevin Blackiston, I'll bring you in here.
Well, I think Lindor and Baez in particular have lost their license to criticize the fans, given that one is batting a career worst 224, and the other one, Baez, was coming in batting about 211. So you have no license to criticize the fans there. And you want to talk about how hard it is to play baseball and that you're just machines and that you need them to help you. So are you blaming them for your poor performance? That doesn't seem fair. I will admit, though, that fans they have the license to boo, and I think that sometimes players have the right to respond to fans who don't like their performance. But when your performance is dislikable, you have nothing to stand on. This is the first time, remember, that we've seen players show their displeasure with fans. I mean, how many of them have shot the bird to someone coming out of a bad game? Both of the Vic brothers did it, right? And what happens? You usually suffer some sort of fine or something like that. It was no need, I don't think, for Alderson to come out with an entire statement about it.
Right, and took the side of the fans, which, I mean, is interesting as well. What's going to shake out of this, Clinton? Discipline for the players, or can they move on past this?
I don't think you discipline the players. To be quite frank, I think there's some guys like, Stroman who are having great years who are actually trying to figure this out. But when you're talking about we're talking about a franchise that has to find Mr. Met for flicking off a fan. There's so many things that come around this actual team that you wonder, what's going on with the leadership? Figure it out. The owner is out here tweeting about guys' plate approaches. Just pay attention to your house in order, and you might have a good baseball team.
And Tim Kalishaw.
Yeah, I was going to mention the owner tweeting about him recently and all that stuff. Probably if you're a Met, feels like people are piling on. This still cannot be your answer to that.
But do you agree with Blackstone that you can respond? I mean, fans are allowed to boo. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and players are allowed to respond to that. They can say, you're not making me feel good here. You're affecting me. They can say that, right, Tim?
Again, I would just ask, what are you going to win if you get into a fight with the fans? How is that going to end in your favor?
Mm-hmm. We've been warned. We'll move on. Football now. Mac Jones' first touchdown pass in the Patriots preseason. There it is. Another great appearance for Jones with the second team. Cam Newton got the start, played with the first team, didn't get many chances to throw the ball as much as Jones did playing into the second half. The stats for the entire summer now favoring Jones over Newton. That's via Jeff Howe of The Athletic. He counted every throw. And here's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, no, we still have a lot of decisions to make.
Okay, Tim, since that excites you so, what's the right decision for Mr. Belichick?
I'm glad he cleared that up for us. I don't think they have a decision to make. I think Cam Newton is the starting quarterback. He played with the starters. There are 15 starting quarterbacks in the league who didn't play at all in the preseason. Cam Newton at least got out there and threw 21 passes. I don't know why there's a rush to just get rid of all the veterans and make the rookies starters from day one. I don't think you need to do that with Mac Jones. If week 5, week 6 comes along, Cam and the offense aren't performing, that might be the time. But I think it's Cam's job, because if you do the opposite, I think you run the risk of losing the veteran player pretty much for good, and then it's all on Mac Jones' shoulders for 17 games. That doesn't seem smart.
Emily, how much do you put into Mac Jones' great numbers in the preseason and Cam Newton being a starter in this league now for a decade, an MVP in the past?
Yeah, Cam played 39 snaps this preseason, but the number that stands out to me, or really the thing that stands out to me, is they didn't let him run at all, and that's what he does best. So the Cam that we saw in the preseason isn't necessarily the Cam we're going to see in the regular season. I mean, think of him week 1 Miami last year, 75 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Mac, meanwhile, the thing that stands out to me the most is hearing from beat reporters that he got reps with a starting team more than any other rookie quarterback in Bill Belichick's tenure. That shows me that Bill Belichick is preparing to use him at some point this season, just not right away. So in my opinion, how it stands is that Cam is the week 1 starter. They'll take it from there. Mac probably will play at some point in the middle of the season, and that's the right decision.
Kevin Blackstone?
But I think the only way he plays is if Cam Newton all of a sudden can't produce. And I don't see that happening unless, of course, he's injured, which is, to your point, Emily, why you didn't see him running, or any running quarterback in this league, quite frankly, running during the preseason, because we've already seen just in the past few days what injuries can mean to a team, especially when your injuries come to a starting player. So that's the case with Cam Newton, and I'm not going to play along with Bill Belichick here. We know that Cam Newton is going to be his starter, and it's going to last unless and until Cam Newton falls flat on his face.
I think the injury element is major here, not just in terms of his COVID situation, but also his body in the last couple of years. So we don't want, I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, you don't want them taking any extra risks. And also, let's think about it this way. There's 14 days until the actual game. This is not a decision that needs to be made right now in terms of the practice and all that's going on. So, I mean, I understand the thinking at this stage of the calendar as much as anything else for Belichick.
Maybe you want a last word?
Yeah, I mean, I just think if you look at Cam's career in Carolina, Greg Olsen was his favorite target. The Patriots went out and got him two tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. I think they're trying to devise an offense that can work for him, work for others too, but specifically work for him, and they want to see how that goes.
We've been horned. We're taking a break right here. Jessica Long, putting together a Paralympic career we haven't seen since the greatest of all time, Trisha Zorn. 25 career medals for Long, dominating in the 200 IM. She was born with fibular hemimelia, double amputee now below the knee. Last year, she told Chloe Toscano for Allure magazine, until every person with a challenge feels included, we should be working to make things even better. Para means parallel. The Paralympics are parallel with the Olympics. What a champion. By ourselves next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Will there be a QB platoon for the San Francisco 49ers this season? Kyle Shanahan hinted at it last week, and in their last preseason game of the 24 plays the starters were in, Jimmy Garoppolo, 14 plays, Trey Lance for 10. They moved in, they moved out often. Both drives they were in ended in a rushing touchdown, so there was success. Garoppolo said it was weird at first, then fun. Defense was scrambling. Clinton, do you think it could work?
I think it could work, but not like this. Their skill sets are different enough that from a scheme standpoint, it actually might make sense. But the way that it happened in that game was just kind of boring, and it seemed like they were doing it just for the sake of doing it. Kyle Shanahan's one of the smartest minds in the NFL, though, and if anybody's going to be able to max out two quarterbacks in a funky scheme, I think it would be him.
Oh, but this bored you over the weekend. Oh, I'm so sorry, Clinton Yates. You found it boring. Tim Kalishaw, how about you? No, you had your time.
Maybe it's a tribute to we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of the true platoon, Craig Morton and Roger Staubach alternating every play.
Oh, yes. Tell us about it, Tim.
Bears, history 1971. Lesson. Of course, the Bears won the game, and Tom had to scrap that plan.
Okay.
Give the job to Roger after the game. So, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Unilaterally, you can make the decision. It won't work for San Francisco this year. Emily Kaplan, how about you?
Typically, I subscribe to the adage, if you have two quarterbacks, that means you have no quarterbacks. But the 49ers know they have a quarterback. It is Trey Lance. So why not throw him in some packages, get his comfort and confidence up, and then transition him to the full-time starter? Because let's face it, Jimmy G is just a stopgap anyway.
So you're buying this. And Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
And of course, that adage was always weird, because if you have two quarterbacks, you actually have two quarterbacks. But in this case, it's not going to work. As Tim just pointed out, when it's been tried before, it has not been successful. Maybe in college, but this is it.
You know, I mean, Woody Page says that line. I don't know. Maybe I'm muting him. But you get a man like the Stone, the professor, wearing that gorgeous look today.
He's in a good humor today.
Oh, Kalishaw. I hear you there. We'll move on. By yourself, too, Nebraska football.
It looked like the same movie. I just got done telling the guys we can't have this season be the same movie because this game looked like the same movie today.
Trounced out of the gate to Illinois, And it doesn't get easier for Nebraska. They have Fordham next week. Tim Kalisha, buy or sell Scott Frost figuring this out.
I am not, if I'm Scott Frost, saying it looks like the same movie. Your fans already know it looks like a movie they've been watching for too long, from before his time, but now his time is not going well. The NCAA is snooping around. It's going badly for the Huskers.
Do you buy that Frost could figure this out, Tim?
No, no, he will not. He will not be the answer there.
Emily Kaplan, how about you?
I'm selling because Frost is blaming the players on it, but let's look at the facts. The Nebraska routinely has more scholarship players transfer than other Big Ten schools. As Tim said, they're under NCAA investigation, and they're at risk of having their 395-game sellout streak end against your Fordham Rams. So maybe it's not the 2021 players at fault. Maybe it's a larger issue, like with the coach.
Mm-hmm. Fordham travels real well. I don't know. Maybe we'll bring some fans from the Bronx to Nebraska. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
One of my favorite horror movies growing up as a kid was Tales from the Crypt, and it was just a series of scary stories after scary stories after scary stories, which is exactly what Frost is doing with this Nebraska team that was once one of the toast of college football. And with the NCAA snooping around, the fact that, remember, they may be investigating him as well for having practices, illegal practices during the COVID shutdown, which is dangerous enough, I don't think this is going to last.
That would suggest they were getting practice. The scores don't necessarily suggest that, Kevin. But you're saying get back to the time when Scott Frost was there when Nebraska was in Nebraska, and when he was coaching in Central Florida. I mean, he had a team there. Clint Yates, do you believe Frost could be the guy to turn this around? Can you get this right?
No, just because you declare yourself a national champion at one school and then show back up at your alma mater and claim that there's a rebirth of the program doesn't mean it's actually what's happening. Take a look in the mirror. Your thing says pride up, phones down, or whatever. You might want to pick up your phone and relate to some guys who actually want to come to your school who can win you some football games, because that can't happen. Losing to Illinois in game one.
Buy or sell three, the best story in the show today. The curious, bizarre case of Bishop Sycamore High School football. By curious and bizarre, I mean, does the, quote, online-only prep school, end quote, from Columbus, Ohio, actually exist? The reporting here from Zach Barnett of FootballScoop.com and Ben Koo of Awful Announcing is amazing. Bishop Sycamore played Sunday, televised on this here network. Did we just blow this year? They got trounced by national champion IMG Academy, 58-0 in Ohio. They also appear to have played Friday in Pennsylvania, got beat bad there too. They don't have a website really or any information readily available on how they were created 2 years ago. ESPN's statement on the team is right here on the screen. Emily, how did we get here?
We got here because adults lied and adults didn't do their due diligence. And in that, kids were embarrassed. And also, kids' safety were put in danger. These kids played 48 hours earlier. We're also hearing things about kids getting evicted from this school, transportation issues, them not being affiliated. Not only were these kids not given a once-in-a-lifetime chance to be on national TV, but now they've become a punchline, and that's just sad.
Kevin Blackstone?
Stephon Diggs and I played football at Our Lady of Good Counsel High School. I think we may have played Bishop Ireton. Bishop Sycamore? Hello, that's the sign right there that something is fishy. Find that in the Bible for me. I don't remember hearing about that from Brother Anthony. Come on, this is
so you're questioning, and this has now been researched as well from many people who are sniffing around here, that there's never been a Bishop Sycamore in the greater Columbus, Ohio area. Clinton Yates, I'll ask you this. Is something afoot here?
Yeah, and it's a sad situation, as Emily pointed out. This is a team where the coach even admits that they don't have a central place to practice. They're looking for spots when they're on the road. And I want to give some credit to Anish, who was on the broadcast and pointed out in real time, this is just plain unsafe, which is what it comes down to when I think about these kids. You can't have this with this level of talent discrepancy. It's not fair to anybody.
So did we get duped here at this network, Tim Kalisha? What is it?
I think there's a lot of people that need to be looking at what happened over the weekend, including ESPN. You can't have a game like that. You can't have a team that has never won a football game and put them on national TV and say, this is a good idea. They're supposed to have a bunch of college recruits, a bunch of Division I recruits. Well, maybe further exploration would show that's really not the case.
There's not much on the players, but you hear stories about how they've come to play at the school, and they had many challenges to get through just to get there as well. Whether the school's online only or no one has the answer to that question as well. But we do know games have been canceled with this team because the opposing teams weren't getting any information from the school as well. That is the reporting we're hearing as well. On this network, The scoring system on this show is supposed to be the biggest mystery, not the teams that are playing on games. Tim Kalisha came back and bit you today. Same with Kaplan. Yates, Stone. Did you say you went to, you played high school football with Stephon Diggs or at the same school as Stephon
Diggs? No, it's the same school.
Yes.
You broke my record.
Showdown in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A wild, kind of endless finish and playoff to the BMW Championship. Bryson DeChambeau up a shot, and Patrick Cantlay was in the water on 17. Cantlay bombing putts, though. Look at all the putts Cantlay needed to end this in six-hole playoff. Did Cantlay win it or DeChambeau blow it, Clint Yates?
I think DeChambeau blew it. You could tell just by his body language. He's out there cussing at people on the course. He knew he messed this one up.
KB?
But you know what? Cantlay never lost his composure. I mean, the great putts, saving himself in the water, and not being frightened off by DeChambeau.
All those putts. I mean, come on now. Everyone could have knocked him out. They were just great. We'll move on. Bengals preseason. Ooh. First round pick Ja'Marr Chase has had 4 drops on 5 targets. And Joe Burrow made his anticipated preseason return. He took 3 snaps, including a drop from Chase. Kevin, was there a point for Burrow to play 3 snaps?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in practice, there's no way that Joe Burrow could replicate just how bad the team is he's playing with. So you have to get a taste for it in real time.
Now, it was a cool moment. It was like sort of like when you call a timeout so that the seniors can come off and get their applause. Everybody wanted to see him. They got those new cool unis out there, too.
Do they have an issue right now with their first-round pick, Ja'Marr Chase? 4 drops? Kevin Blackstone, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I just want to give a shout out to the great chef, Jose Andreas. If you've been keeping up with him the last couple of weeks, he was in Haiti serving up as many as 18,000 meals a day to the people and first responders down there to the earthquake. And now he has just landed in Louisiana to do the same thing with an eye on sending up 100,000 meals to first responders and the victims in the Hurricane Ida situation. This guy is so deserving of a Nobel Peace Prize, it's not even funny. But you know what? He's a great guy, and he doesn't care. He's just serving it up for humanity. Thank you, Jose Andres.
Well said, Kevin Blackstone. Of course, everything that's happening in Louisiana today, our thoughts are there. And we're going to take a break here. But tomorrow, our thoughts will be with Ms. Jackie McMullen. Our farewell episode. Join us tomorrow. Set your DVRs. Be here for the memories as we say farewell to one of the greatest of all time, our Jackie McMullen.